Many indeed are the dreadful, disgusting, degrading things that are open to our eyes today. There's decay and rebellion, greed and strife, evidenced on every hand. But in contrast, let me today direct your attention to some of the things that are divinely opened, opened by God for us to view, and not only to view, but to receive the truth involved in the unveiling. His opening of truth is for faith to lay hold upon that would bring us joy instead of disgust, peace instead of strife, and true and eternal riches instead of greed. Let me turn you today to the third chapter of Luke's Gospel for the first mention of what has been opened for us to behold. We read in the third chapter of Luke, in verse 21, "When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus, also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened." This is our first point. The heaven was opened, a remarkable thing. And we read, "The Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." What do we see? What do we hear when heaven is opened upon the Lord Jesus? We see the Spirit of God descending, attesting that this is the divinely appointed one, the one in whom is no sin, the one who is able to be anointed by the Spirit of God without blood, but the one who was appointed to be the Savior of sinners through the shedding of his blood. He's marked out as the divinely appointed Savior by the Spirit of God descending upon him. What do we hear? We hear the acclamation of the Father. "This is my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." Oh, dear listener, let me ask you, what do you think of the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you say, "This is my beloved Savior"? Heaven has been opened upon the Lord Jesus, and the Father's voice has declared that he is well pleased with him. God desires that you might behold him, and also by faith receive him. The heavens have declared his worth, his value. Turn to the second thing that is opened in the fourth chapter. We read that Jesus is in Nazareth, where he is brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. The second thing that was opened, we want to notice today, is the opened book, the book of Isaiah, from the Old Testament that Jesus took when he was here on earth. And he found the place and he read these words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book. It's quite remarkable, as we refer back to Isaiah 61, from which this passage that he read is taken from, that in Luke's recounting of it, the Lord stopped at a comma. And the reason is very wonderful to notice. What follows in Isaiah that the Lord didn't read was, "And the day of vengeance of our God." The blessed Lord Jesus has opened the book to tell us of the reason of his first coming, his coming to save, his coming to deliver the captives, to heal the brokenhearted. Is my listener today one who has a need, one who is poor in spirit, who is brokenhearted? You are a slave to sin, you are blind to the reality of eternal things? Oh, the Lord Jesus is set forth in an open book as the one who came to be your Savior. He is love, and his words that he read caused words to come forth from those that heard him thus. They wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they are words of grace. The open book that you have in your hand, the Holy Scriptures, God's way of salvation through Christ is proclaimed through them. And they are wondrous words indeed. But you know, God is not only love, God is also truth. And the Lord Jesus not only proclaimed grace, he also proclaimed truth. Now the truth, not only concerning himself, but concerning man. And the Lord Jesus in his ministry was faithful. In order to bring men to himself, they had to realize their need. And he went on to tell them of their unbelief and their sin. And you know what this did? This aroused enmity in their hearts against him. They were filled with wrath. And they rose up and thrust him out of the city. This reminds us, beloved listener, as to how the word of God, when preached, is received and what it produces. When you hear the word of God, it'll either bring you to acceptance of it and joy in the knowledge of the Savior, or else it'll cause you to make a decision against him. Oh, I trust that the latter is not so today. I would that you would turn your attention to the next thing that's open, because in it we see the result of the coming of the Savior, why he came, to go to Calvary's cross, where he was rejected by those that hated him without a cause. Finally, they had their way. They cried, "Away with him, crucify him, we will not have this man to reign over us." And he was lifted up to die. But he allowed himself to be taken, because it was to die for sinners that he came. But you notice, the end of the suffering on Calvary had arrived. And when he had cried with a loud voice in Matthew 27:50, and the voice said, "It is finished," he yielded up his spirit. And behold, we read, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened. This is the third opening I want you to notice. An open grave. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection. What a remarkable thing we have here. An open grave. What had opened the grave? In the first place, let me ask, what is it that took man into death? Well, it was his sin. Well, what is it that will take man out of death? Whoa, how wonderful to see here that it was at the very moment that Christ died that the graves were open. It is redemption through the work of Calvary, beloved listener, that opens the graves for men. They have been opened. And we notice that after his resurrection, these graves that were open yielded up the bodies of some of the saints that had fallen asleep, and they went into the holy city and appeared unto many. This opening attests to the fact that God was pleased with the work of his Son, and he has shown that the work of redemption through Christ's death is that which brings salvation, and it brings resurrection. And man, as a believer in Christ, is thus associated with him, the living Christ in the glory. Turn now to Luke chapter 24, and we'll notice another opening, an opening that is given to us on the day of his resurrection. The blessed Savior rose from the dead the third day, according to the Scriptures. This is the integral part of the work of redemption. He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. He was delivered for our offenses, and he was raised for our justification. Let me ask you, what is your understanding of these things? Do you understand why he died? You know, the disciples had to be taught. And we read in verse 45 of chapter 24 of Luke, "Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures." What Scriptures? What did they say? "Those things written," he said, "in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." And he says, "Thus it is written, it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things." He, the Lord Jesus, opened the understanding of these who had previously heard his word. Dear friend, have you read the Bible? Has this book that you have in your hands and from which you're reading been opened to your understanding? Do you accept what God says about you, that you have a need that only Christ can meet? Do you understand why Christ died and was raised from the dead? Will you not come to the Lord by faith and have him open up your understanding? If you honestly, earnestly, sincerely come before him and say, Lord, I want to know thy mind, open my understanding, he will. The graves were open the moment he died. The empty graves were manifest the moment he arose. And I'll tell you, dear friend, the moment you put your trust in him, you too will be at peace through an understanding that your sins are forgiven through trusting in him. Now turn, if you will, to Acts chapter 7, and we have another thing that is open. We read in verse 54 to the end of the chapter about Stephen being stoned to death. He had just witnessed a good confession of Jesus Christ. He was hated for his testimony. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened. Our first mention was in connection with the heavens open being upon Jesus. This scripture tells us that heaven is open for us who believe, like Stephen. What a grand thing to know, that as Stephen saw the heavens open and the Son of Man there in the glory, we too know that Jesus lives in the glory. There's a man there already, the man Christ Jesus, the one who has opened heaven for us. God has received him there as our representative. The believer sees in Jesus a man who has already given himself in death for him and has taken him as a substitute for him. And the believer sees Christ in the glory as the one who is there representing him. And you know, when we look into the glory and we see the open heaven, the Lord has gone to prepare a place for us. He's already there. It's the assurance that we shall be there also. Because he lives, we shall live also. Dear listener, has heaven been open to you? It has been. By faith, do you see yourself as already there, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? If you have trusted him as a Savior, that's where God has placed you. Now turn with me, if you will, to another opening we read about in Acts chapter 16. The Apostle Paul had gone to the city of Philippi, and we read of him coming to a woman whose heart the Lord opened. Oh, beloved listener, this is what we would draw your attention to. The Savior longs to open your heart, just as he opened the heart of Lydia. And you notice that when Paul came preaching the gospel, that she readily received the things that were spoken of Paul. She believed the gospel. She was blessed. She was saved. And she showed her salvation by her attitude towards these servants of the Lord whom she invited to her house. And thus, we have another opening, really. We have an opened house that she had opened to the Lord and his messengers. I would draw your attention to the Savior's words to you. He is knocking at your heart's door. We hear him saying in Revelation 3, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. The Savior longs that you should open your heart, just as Lydia opened hers to the Lord Jesus. Will you do so? If you do, heaven has been opened for you, and there is no doubt that you shall enter heaven. When you close your eyes in death here, your spirit and soul will go to be with the Lord there. Or when the Lord comes, he will take you with himself into the Father's house. Yes, heaven is open to those who open their hearts to the Lord. In closing, I would remind you, however, of the other side. We read in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 14 these solemn words. Hell hath both enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. Hell? Yes, there is a hell. Just as surely there is a heaven open for sinners who believe in Christ, there is a hell for those that reject him. To reject him is to close your heart to him, not to respond to his desire to come in and sup with you. Oh, God, grant that today you will not be amongst the unbelieving, because we read in Revelation 21, it's the fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and idolaters and all liars that shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. This is the second death. This is hell that is opened to the fearful and the unbelieving. It need not be that you should go there. God has opened heaven to you. And I trust that today, his revelation of his openings, an open heaven upon the Savior, the open word which you have in your hand, the open graves which attest to the victory over death and the salvation that he has accomplished, will you not let him open your understanding and open your heart? And then you too, by faith, shall enter the open heaven. May God bless his word for his name's sake to every listener today. Loving God, our Father, we thank thee for thy precious word, and we pray that thou wilt use it to convict souls of their need and to have them open their eyes and their hearts to thy divine openings for man's blessing. We thank thee for the Savior. He lives in the glory, the place that he has opened for those that will open their heart to him. We ask that every listener will thus respond to his invitation, open their hearts, and be blessed and receive the peace and joy that comes through believing. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.